And what I want to do is just pray and just believe God to really speak into our hearts and lives today. Can we do that together? What do you say? Father, we pray this morning for your presence to continue to just rest here among us today. We thank you, Lord, that the wind and the sea still know your name. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, Lord, for your faithfulness, that you finished what you started. All the things we sang. And as we dive into your word today, we are thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to never take for granted any one of the beautiful gifts that you've given us. And as in our time together in the word, I'm asking that you would speak into each one of our lives in a fresh way today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So last week we were looking at the Great Commission, and we saw that there's a go and there's a wait in the gospel, in the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world, but wait. Wait for what? Wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And we were looking at the tension between the two, the relationship between the two. And really, discipleship is all about learning to live in that tension. Like, we're called into action. We're called to follow. We're called into these things. But we're not called to just dive into it in our own strength. We need to wait on Him and do it in connection with Jesus. And waiting simply means to make room in our lives for the Holy Spirit. What we see in the upper room in Acts 1 is that they were waiting, continuing in prayer and supplication. And in doing that, they were creating space in their lives, in their community, for the Holy Spirit. I like doing more extended worship times and nights of prayer and things like that, because collectively, when we do that, we're making room for the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And I like doing that individually, too, because when we do that in our personal lives, we're creating space for the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, run and don't grow weary, walk and don't faint. So it's just so vital in our lives. And the disciples were called to wait until they were clothed with power from on high. And you know, this waiting, it's an active waiting. It's not a passive waiting. It's not a, well, if it happens, it happens. No, it's actually involves pressing in. And waiting, that's really where the limitless part of this comes in. Waiting is all about receiving that limitless power of the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus has called us to do, to take us beyond our own strength and ability into His strength and ability. And that's what we saw happening last week. And we saw Jesus waited for the Holy Spirit to begin His ministry. Then the early church, they were instructed by Jesus to wait for the Holy Spirit to continue Jesus' earthly ministry. And we are called into a lifestyle, myself, yourself, we are called into a lifestyle, each of us, to continually wait on the Lord and to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the big difference. We discover that's the big difference between went and sent. Because when we go in our own strength, we go outside of connection with Him. It can be said of us, we just went. But when we go filled up with Him, we're going sent. And there's a big difference between went and sent. There really is. And unfortunately, I know that difference all too well. I could tell you stories. I'll give you one quick example, and I've shared this before, but it was the first time I was preaching in India. And I didn't know I was going to be preaching in India, but that's how it always is, right? You kind of get thrown in. And we were assigned to go preach in these churches around the city of Chennai, which was formerly called Madras by the British. And I found out, I'd only preached like twice in my life, and I found out I was going to be doing 3 nights of miracle services. I'm like, awesome, okay. Never done that before. And I didn't know what to do a miracle service, and so I just thought of what is the best miracle I can think of in the Bible, which was Lazarus. And I decided I am going to preach on Lazarus and hope something good happens. Like people get healed. And I'll say it like this. It was kind of out of my own idea. I'll put it in that way. And that night I preached that message. And I think a few folks got encouraged because God's word is God's word. It always encourages. But there wasn't like a breakthrough. I think somebody actually did get touched. A lady with tuberculosis. Which was interesting because after that trip, I had a positive TB test for a very long time and I had to take medication and all kinds of different things. But it may have been some kind of spiritual attack. But that first night, I do think one person got touched. Probably just the grace of God in spite of me, all that. It's always in spite of us. But we get to be, we're partners with Him. But I was really, like, bummed. You know, you step out, it doesn't happen like you want. You're like, oh, man, that was... I felt like I just went. That's what I'm trying to say. So it put me in cry out to God mode, wait on God mode. Lord! And he gave me a message that next night. He gave me a word that had it didn't have anything to do with physical healing. It was a word in Acts chapter 16 about praise and Paul and Silas and this whole thing. But there was so much life in that word. It was a rhema word. His presence was on that word. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but I'm going to preach the word God gave me. And it was just boiling up in my heart. And I knew it was from him. And I went into that service that next night, you know, and I preached this message. And when it came time to pray for healing, it was just explosive. Like the power of God just fell in that place. I was sent. The difference was the first time, like, hey, I think this is what I should probably do. And, well, let's get her done. And I went in my own strength. The second night, I went in the strength of the Lord. And it was just a big difference. And I learned the hard way. And we all learn most of the time when we really, really, really learn the life lessons. Unfortunately, sometimes we learn the hard way. But you know what? I think spiritual maturity teaches us, hey, I don't always have to learn the hard way. Tell somebody, you don't have to learn the hard way. Lord, I'll take the easy way, please. Some of us are a little thick-headed. And the hard way, the easy way, it's the important thing is that we learn. All right. So that was a went-sent story. But let's get into talking about... Enough about my mistakes. Let's talk about this now. Let's get into talking about the scripture this morning, because I think that you will really, I feel like God has a word of encouragement for us this morning. I'm going to take us to Luke 24, verse 49 in the Amplified and then the New Living Translation. We hit this already, but it's phrased in a little bit different way in this translation. Jesus said, "Behold, I send forth upon you what my Father has," say it with me, "promised." Say it again, "promised." Okay, "but remain in the city, Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high." Tonight, this morning rather, the title of part four is really the promise. Let's read this in the New Living Translation. Let's throw that up on the screen. "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." That's what on high means. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit means. To be filled with power, catch this, from heaven. That's amazing. Okay, I that really excites me. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. "Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which," he said, "you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." He goes on to say in verse 8 of Acts 1, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, in these verses, we're setting this up for Acts chapter 2, which we'll read in a moment. But I want to show you some things we've seen so far. First of all, we've seen that the Father is the promiser. The Father, Father God, He is the one that has promised us the Holy Spirit. If you could throw that slide up. The Father is the promiser. Jesus is the baptizer. And the Holy Spirit, He's the promise. The whole Trinity is involved in this gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to circle back around to some of that thinking, but I want to highlight those thoughts in these verses as we continue to look at this experience that we come to in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we're 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus, 10 days after the ascension of Jesus, and they're there on the day of Pentecost in an upper room, probably where they had communion. And there in the upper room, they're continuing in prayer. They're continuing in seeking God. And it says in chapter 2, verse 1 of the book of Acts, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Everybody say all. They were all filled. Not just the really emotional ones. Not just the ones that really needed it. Not just the ones that were more spiritual or walked with Jesus longer. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or gave them the ability. So all of them have now received what they were waiting for, the promise of the Father, the promised Holy Spirit. And as we move on with the story here, without reading all of this scripture, we find something really remarkable. Because what happens is what they experience in the upper room immediately overflows out into the streets of Jerusalem. And everybody is wondering, what does this mean? It says, they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And I think that people have been both amazed and perplexed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit pretty much ever since. I don't know if you agree with me on that, but I found that to be true. And it's because something kind of bypasses, like, it is a sign of wonder. And they were asking, what could this mean? And others were mocking, saying, they're full of wine. They're full of new wine. The next verse says, but Peter, and this is remarkable because Peter goes into this incredible message, and this is the same city that he was denying Jesus in 50 days earlier. And now he is going to boldly preach in the name of Jesus in front of thousands of people, whereas 50 days earlier, he would not even confess Jesus to a young lady. He denied Jesus to a person who was a young girl, servant girl, in Caiaphas's house. Remarkable transformation. That's how clearly the Holy Spirit personally transformed him. But it wasn't just about being bold. It was about what God did that day. 3,000 people were going to get saved out of this message. 3,000 people were going to be added to the church in this moment. 3,000 people were going to have an encounter with God. And he begins to preach. And he says, Peter standing up with the 11, he raised his voice and said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These are not drunk like you think, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all people, all flesh. If you could hold off on that verse on the screen for a second, because I'm reading something else. Thank you so much. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And he begins to preach. And he begins to tell them about Jesus. And he begins to say, all that is happening here today, people being filled with the Holy Spirit, this is happening in its entirety because Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. He's in heaven. And he's the one doing all of this right here, right now. And he gets to chapter, we go on to this and we continue in the story. And as he says, this is how bold he is. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus who you crucified. He says to the thousands of people listening to him. God has made him Lord and Messiah. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, men, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you can put that verse up now. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. I love looking at this passage here because, and we're gonna camp on that for a second here this morning, but I want to highlight that Peter is referring here to two distinct experiences with the Holy Spirit. First of all, he's referring to salvation, to being born again. He talks about repent, be baptized. That's all part of being saved, being given our hearts to Jesus. But then he talks about a second experience, and that is being filled with or baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we see that these things are both, it's all a part of the package for us. Like, God never intended for us to just receive one aspect or just to experience salvation only, but to also experience the filling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Both of these things are available. We get, say this with me, we get both. Say, I get both. All right, so I want to highlight three things here. First of all, the Holy Spirit is the promise. The Holy Spirit is a promise. The Holy Spirit is a sure thing. We saw in Acts 2:39 that this promise is to you, your children, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise is for every single person. All flesh. Everybody. It's a promise of God. Not just a promise for the early church, all believers. That's me. That's you. That's each one of us. This promise is a personal promise of God. A personal promise of the Father for your life and for my life. It's not just a random promise. It's a personal promise. The Holy Spirit is the promise. Can you say amen? Second thing I want to highlight is that the Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. We know that gifts aren't earned, but they do need to be received. And what I want to highlight about a gift is, this being a gift, is I think sometimes we need to get back to having a childlike attitude. Jesus taught us that we need to be like children in the kingdom of God. And sometimes as we grow and we become adults, we kind of get too grown up for stuff. We build certain walls in our lives. We begin to go through life in a way that can kind of get us not as receptive as we once were. But when you're a child and there's gifts under the Christmas tree, and you open that first gift, let's say the gift of salvation here for the sake of this illustration, you're like, wow, that's amazing. And you're so grateful and you're so excited. But if you see other gifts under that tree as a child, you're not looking at those gifts and saying, hey, Mom, Dad, that you shouldn't have. That is too much. I can't accept that from you, Mom. You did too much. I really shouldn't. No. They give you the green light. Paper is flying. Bows are flying. Ribbons are flying. You're diving in. You're ripping it open. You're excited about that gift. And I want to encourage you today, because I feel like some believers get the gift of salvation and they're like, Father, thank you. I'm so grateful for salvation. It's so wonderful to be born again and have eternal life. But there's other gifts from your Father under the tree, and you're sitting back there going, no, I don't know if I really should have that gift, Lord. I heard that there's some power of God stuff mixed into that, and some speaking in tongues stuff, and some prophesying, and some boldness, and witnessing, and I don't know about all that stuff. Can we just leave that one all wrapped up under there? Because it's just it's a lot of things I don't quite get in that. That's your grown-up response. And that's not the good grown-up response. That's the grown-up response of, I've built up walls in my life. And that's where God calls you and calls me to become childlike again and say, God, if you have a gift for me, I want to rip open the wrapping paper. I want to dive into this. I want to receive this. Can you say amen this morning? It's time to be, God's not called us to be childish, but childlike. Childlike hunger, childlike inquisitiveness, childlike joy in our lives. And that's what I just want to highlight here when we talk about the Holy Spirit is a gift, to really understand that. Some people haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit baptism yet in our church family. And I want to let you know something. I grew up in a Pentecostal and charismatic environment. I love the environment that I grew up in. And partially this church, but this is the church I was raised in. You know, my parents went to church on the way in Southern California with Pastor Jack Kayford. It was a four-square church, a Pentecostal church. People were filled with the Holy Spirit. I grew up in that kind of an environment. And I got prayed for that many times at camps and things like that. But I didn't really receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in like a full experience until I was 19 years old. And I grew up in Pentecostal churches. I'm trying to tell you this morning that if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet, nothing is wrong with you. Just look at somebody and say, nothing's wrong with you. You're like, you're lying. There's all kinds of things wrong with me. I could list them for you right now. That's not what I mean. I don't mean that we all don't have some issues we're working on. I get that we have brokenness and issues. I'm saying that in terms of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a gift. It's not earned. We are called to simply ask and receive this gift, not jump through a bunch of hoops to get ready for it. It doesn't work that way. It's a free gift from our Father that just needs to be unwrapped. Look at what Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What an amazing thing. If we simply ask, and I want to encourage you today to ask for more or to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, because our Father is good. He gives good gifts to His children. It's a promise. It's a gift. And the third thing I want to highlight is that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He said in John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. And that means another like me. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was sent as the promise of the Father in place of the physical presence of Jesus. That's what He was saying. Another one is coming. He's like me, but He's also different than me. He's like me that He's God, but He's the Holy Spirit. He can be everywhere. He's invisible, but He's going to come alongside you in a very real way, not as a force, not as some kind of, not just as a manifestation, but a person who's going to come alongside, the helper, God, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come alongside you. We need to understand when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're immersed into a deeper relationship with God's Spirit Himself. We're filled up with God Himself, not just a wind or a force or something like that, but God being immersed into Him. And that's an awesome thing. And that's an awesome gift that the Father has for us, an awesome promise that He has for us. Now, we talk about the word baptized or being filled. They're kind of synonymous, talking about the same thing. We saw here in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about that in Acts 2. They were filled. And in Acts 1, rather, He talks about being baptized. But both of them mean to be overwhelmed or immersed in the Holy Spirit to the point of overflow. And every time we look in the book of Acts, every single time somebody was filled with the Holy Spirit, something overflowed out of their lives in a good way. Praise, boldness, prophecy, speaking in tongues was repeated the most consistently. But we see that over and over again in the book of Acts. And being filled to overflowing and being baptized are two descriptions of the same experience that we see beginning in the upper room in the book of Acts that we just read. But God powerfully restored to the church at the beginning of the 20th century in the 1900s is something He has for us right now today. And God's standard for us is that we would be a people that overflow. That's what it means to be filled. It means to be filled to overflowing. And I've said this before, but I want to comment on this again. I just love that the Bible says no man can tame the tongue. Like, it is the most difficult thing to deal with in our lives. But it was the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God said, I'm going to take that thing that no one can tame. That's the hardest thing to deal with, your speech, the way you talk. And I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, that's going to be the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When their speech is yielded over to me. And I'm going to bring praise out of their mouth in languages they don't even know. And it's going to be a heavenly thing. And it's going to be a supernatural thing. And it's going to be what overflows out of them when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. I just think that is so much fun. I think God has a really divine sense of humor. Because He could have made it anything. But He picked that. The Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not just speaking in tongues, but He said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There's going to be joy. There's going to be all kinds of things that come out of our life. And if you take a look at what came out of your mouth in the last 24 hours, you can gauge how much you need to be filled or refilled with the Holy Spirit this morning. That was a good word. I'm preaching a little better than your amen, and just a little bit. The ratio is a little off right there. No, I'm serious. It's a really good gauge. We're to constantly be refilled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I think when we look at this, we see that this is a promise to all believers. And sometimes people are like, you know what, I'm more Baptist. And I remember a story, actually, that Elvis was telling in the documentary about his life. And he grew up in an Assemblies of God church, in case you didn't know that. And he grew up in church. And he was talking to one guy, another guy, friends with his band one day. And he said, you know, hey, what can you tell me about the Holy Spirit? And the guy said to him, I'm more Baptist. You know, I know we have them when we get saved. And that's about where it stops for me. And Elvis said, well, it's not really what I mean. He said, I just want the Holy Spirit like my mama had the Holy Spirit. And I think that friend that talked to Elvis, that was a really strong Christian guy, he responded in a way that a lot of us respond sometimes. You think, well, I was raised Baptist, or I come from a Catholic background, or I was a Methodist. Look, it doesn't matter what denominational background you have or do not have. This is not a Pentecostal church thing. This is a God giving a gift to all of His children thing. That's what it is. I'm serious about this. Don't write yourself off because you have some different background that you kind of have a little bit different doctrine. Forget that. This is right there in front of our faces. It's right under the Christmas tree. The problem isn't about background. It's just about us saying, okay, God, I thank you for this. I want to unwrap this in my life right now. Okay? Let's stand up on our feet today. I'm going to ask Melissa to come up to the keys this morning. I hope we can. I hope it's still plugged in. They're going to try to make sure it is. And we're going to have a little bit of a ministry time right now because I want to give everybody here a chance. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to give you a chance this morning to be prayed over to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had this encounter with God, and it was something that I didn't even receive prayer when it happened to me, actually. But I have seen people get prayed over and then get baptized in the Holy Spirit right in that moment or sometime over the next few days. But if you're here this morning, you would say, you know what, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I haven't had that experience yet, but I want to come up and unwrap the present under the Christmas tree and say, God, that's for me. I want that today. Now, we're going to pray over you in just a minute. I want to ask some of our ministry team people that are here. I know we had a lot in the first service. We've got some here now. If you could just come up, our pastoral team and other ministry team people, and you can spread over this way too. But right now, what we're going to do is just invite you. If you would say, you know what, I want to be prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you to move out of your seat right now and say, that's me. I want to unwrap the present under the tree. Just come on up here to the front. We love you. It's a good thing. We're going to celebrate your hunger with you this morning. Wherever you are, come right on up. Come right up out of your seat. I know the band's all not up here playing, you know, shredding great solos in their guitars and things. It doesn't matter right now. We're just going to pray over these people. And right now, what I want you to do, first of all, where you are in your seats, I want you to turn to one another as well right now. And I want you to pray with each other just for a fresh touch of God in each other's life, for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people down here that can pray with you guys if you need somebody. John, if you could help match people up. Go ahead and turn two or three here in the sanctuary next to you. And I want you to pray for a fresh touch of God, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit right where you are out in your seats too. Please go ahead and just pray with each other. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. All he said you have to do is ask, to simply ask. Father, we pray over each and every one of these people that have come up to the front today to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we ask you this morning, God, that you would fill each and every one of them, that you would touch them with your presence, God. Touch them with your Spirit, Lord. You're praying to receive today. Just ask Him and then begin to thank the Lord in words that you understand. Praise Him in words that you understand. You may find right away that He begins to give you just a special prayer language. Just go ahead and let that go today. Hallelujah. Just pray for that fresh filling over that one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More of you, God. More of you, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. So good. Bless your name.